This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Michael Fabiano coming up at 10:20, right from the NFL Network studios in Culver City in Los Angeles. We are into the playoffs for all of you fantasy football hacks like me. We lost. I cannot believe we lost, but we have a bye this week. My team just blows. We picked up Josh Gordon, of all people. I don't know why I picked up someone from the Browns, but I did. I'll have Michael coming up at 10:20. Boy, there's a lot going on. Just there's some things that are of interest that aren't page one type things. Some stuff going on here in the Valley. Along with Michael today, we'll have Brett Swedberg, the assistant golf coach at Grand Canyon University, talk to the Lopes. Every Wednesday at 11 a.m., we talk Grand Canyon University athletics. We're going to be talking college golf. How do you get recruited in college golf? What's it like on the college golf scene? GCU's course is fabulous. Love being over there. And tonight, they have their deal where the Lopes are on the road tonight at Boise State. Where do I start today? I think I want to start with the Suns from last night in this vein. Tomorrow night, the Lakers play Cleveland. So you're going to have Lonzo Ball against LeBron James. And this morning, LeBron James was going on and on and on about how great Lonzo Ball is. And I was watching Josh Jackson last night. And Josh Jackson has not done much of anything so far. And anybody who's quick to bury Lonzo Ball just doesn't like Lonzo Ball and just doesn't like LeVar Ball. And you're 20 games into this. As LeBron said, gushing about Lonzo Ball, which leads to the speculation that LeBron will leave the Cavaliers at the end of this season and he'll be with the Lakers next year and LeBron will be mentoring Lonzo Ball. So tomorrow night, I will watch Cavaliers-Lakers. I will. I am totally into this. Quote, the kid hasn't said anything. It's been everybody else, which I agree with. So I love his humility. I agree with that. He goes out every time someone asks him a question. He says, this is not about me, man. I just want to be, I just want to win. I don't care about what I did. I seen he had a triple-double one game and they lost. He was like, I don't care. We lost. Quoting LeBron James, so can I draw any parallel to my experience? I mean, of course. I guess when you're drafted to a franchise, they want you to kind of be the savior, and it takes a while. I mean, listen, the guy is 20-something games in his pro career. Bleep happens. Bleep doesn't happen that fast. Here it goes again. It goes back to my instant oatmeal quote. Everybody wants it right away. Can he play ball? Absolutely, the kid can play ball. LeBron James. So there were this segment here in the Valley that was all wound up when the Suns got Josh Jackson. And I'm not going to sit here and bang on Josh Jackson today to lead off the show. And so I watched the Suns last night, and they're not good. And the Kings are not good. And so it was two teams that weren't good. It'll be 45 minutes of my life. I'll never get back again. It was a free throw contest towards the end, and Sacramento pulled away and won. But the point of it is I'm getting this banging on the Suns aspect of they're never going to figure it out. And that it may be true. That, in fact, may be true. But you can't make blanket statements about Josh Jackson right now, just like you can't make blanket statements about Lonzo Ball. I'd take Lonzo Ball over my team any day over Josh Jackson. Any day. That morgue that they play in down there would be filled with people to watch. I have to make money at doing this. But they didn't figure out how to lose quite enough games. Kobe Bryant came out today and said Lonzo Ball will figure it out. So clearly the big names are starting to step forward and say enough of the nonsense. If you've noticed in watching the show, those of you that watch every day or thereabouts, I have not gone into the LeVar Lithuania stuff. It's easy, low-hanging, filling time, not of interest to me in a big grand scale. Maybe for a minute or so, and that's about it. I'm far more interested that Herm Edwards last night was in the home of a Hamilton Husky offensive lineman. And what was his recruiting pitch? How did he come across in a living room last night? I will talk about that as the show moves on today. It's far more interesting. I'm actually interested in how this JD Martinez thing is going to turn out. You know, the Granky part, for where I'm sitting at today, I would get him down to Texas. Whatever it takes to get him to Texas, I would get him down to Texas. I would part with Yasmani Tomas. I would part with Banda. I would do whatever it takes. I'd even look at Jake Lamb if that's what it takes to make him go away. If that's what it takes to make the dollar figures go away, that's what I would do. You can't just sit here and say, oh, we can't do it because we have Greinke's contract. You're going to have to make some uncomfortable moves. If you don't feel as though you're going to keep A.J. Pollock here long term, then you got to include A.J. Pollock. It's no different than me saying in Ray I trust. It isn't. If you're going to just sit around and mope because you signed a bad deal under a previous regime, you cannot do that. Cannot do that. So I am all in on getting J.D. Martinez back here and getting Greinke out of here. Or even if J.D. doesn't come back. This isn't all or nothing. J.D. Martinez goes to Boston. Scott Boras this morning at the winter meetings was going on and on and on about J.D. would be open to DHing, but he's really not that bad defensively. Scott's trying to do his deal. I get it. I've seen it for a number of years. I just have to get Greinke off my books. And yesterday, when the story started coming out on the Rangers side that they are talking to the Diamondbacks, that they are interested in getting Zach Greinke, then I would definitely make that happen. If I've got to pay $50 million to make a mistake go away, pay $50 million. It's not my money. It's Ken Kendrick's. He can afford it. Not that hard. When I get this, oh, the team's not committed, and this is why Phoenix teams are not good because, you know, they didn't keep J.D. Martinez here. That's not even close to reality. Not even close in this day and age of baseball. It's not. Phil Bennett leaving Arizona State. If you're surprised by that, I don't know. I put it on Twitter a week ago. Phil Bennett's not going to be back. It had been all over the Pac-12 conference. It had been all over the assistant coaching run. So Phil is going to leave. If it's his health, if he shows up at Texas A&M as is being reported down at Texas A&M, well, there's always a clean way to make things just kind of separate ways, and that's it. So there's a lot going on that I look at, and I'm thrilled with us having a college basketball season, not just a team, college basketball season that is relevant. Bobby Hurley, obviously relevant. Talked about him a lot the last couple of days. Very relevant. I don't know if this is going to continue. Somewhere along the way, they're going to lose a game or two or three within the conference. And when they do, are people just going to back off and turn their attention to something else, as is normally the case? You know, Peyton Manning's in town today. That's how busy our sports scene is. Peyton Manning is at the Waste Management Open tee-off luncheon. He's going to talk today. That's going to lead every sports cast tonight that Peyton Manning was in town. It's not going to be Bobby Hurley. Not going to be the Diamondbacks. It'll be Peyton Manning, Garen Stinking teeing you. And he's going to say, it's great being here, and I thought about playing, I love Coach Arians. There'll be some angles alongside of it, and everything will just go away. That's how this market works, unfortunately. That's why I came over here. Keep your eye on the ball. The deep dive we did yesterday on Arizona State did not resonate with some. Some of you were really pissed at me about yesterday's show, and it's fine. I'm just sharing my ideas. We're in that business. We're in that space. You have to look at how lousy things have been for 20 plus years across the board in order to understand where you're going. You can't just say, well, that happened and forget about it. No, you have to learn from it. So all this hate on Herm Edwards suddenly is spun around because Bobby Hurley wins a basketball game at Kansas. It doesn't make sense. Bobby was winning games against lower-level teams or not named brand teams, but he was building a program long ago. We just don't jump on a story because it's convenient that they beat Kansas and the football team's not very good right now. Now the football program, they're going to go hire an assistant coach. No, it's not good that it is right before letter of intent day. It's not. Whoever tries to sell you that is selling BS. It's a blow to the program. It's 7 days away. So will Herm Edwards rally? Of course he will from Arizona State's perspective. Next week, a week from today, is letter of intent day. Biggest day of the year for our company. This time of year, when it's letter of intent day, we have people flooding in to check out what we do. We put all sorts of stuff up because there is interest in college football, and high school plays into it. But I will guarantee you a week from today, we're going to hear, couldn't believe we got him. This is a great recruit. We're not going to hear this guy has two left feet and has a 2.1 GPA and can't play dead. We're not going to hear any of that. We're not going to hear about the warts on any of these kids. We're going to hear this is the greatest day ever. I will be very interested to go to Herm Edwards' deal next Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, Arizona State usually puts on a deal. Rich Rod, he has his thing down in Tucson. Jerome Sowers will have his deal up at NAU all next Wednesday. And for the last 6 years, the most fun I've had with Todd every one of these is how much weight did you gain and what did you eat? Because I know the rest of the script. Which recruit cooked you the best meal and the worst meal? Because the script is, couldn't believe we got him. High character guy. Couldn't believe he did this. Couldn't believe we did that. Reminds me of Pat Tillman. It was like rinse, repeat. And I'm really hopeful that Herm is Herm and not some sanitized sit down in a meeting for an hour with PR people saying use this and use that. I'm really hoping that happens. Because I think just what I'm seeing here in the early going and what I'm hearing, it's pretty engaging out there on the recruiting side. Really engaging. Of course, they're going to say we got this many five-star guys and four-star guys. Don't care. Don't care. Ray may care. I don't care. And I'm supportive of Ray. What's it look like in 1 year, 2 years, 4 years from now? There's guys at ASU have had, I might do it before we get to letter of intent day. Just give you the last 6 years, the five-star, four-star, three, they're not that many, but there's some. Or guys that were brought in with all sorts of hype and did nothing. Zero, zip. So relax, breathe, enjoy the process. Opening comments brought to you by Sagicor. Sagicor Now. Guys, you got to take care of what matters most. Sagicor Now and life insurance. You got to take care of your life insurance. Get your free quote. Go to sagicornow.com. Log on. Get that quote. See what matters most to you. Appreciate Sagicor and all those who support Sports360AZ.com through the years. Coming up next, Michael Fabiano. Stay with us. All right, it is Wednesday. Let us head out to the NFL Network studios where Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, is standing by. NFL Network, NFL.com. You should be logging on constantly because there's updates all over the place. And my mailbag is just stuffed, as I'm sure yours is, with Aaron Rodgers and Carson Wentz. Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays and all that right off the top. Hope you're well.
Merry Christmas.
The Aaron Rodgers and Carson Wentz being thrown at you in a span of 24, 48 hours, Michael. Let's just talk strategy because the mailbag is overflowing with those two.
Mm-hmm. Well, first thing is, if you had paid attention to the news a few weeks ago and picked up Rodgers, well, then potentially you've got one heck of a replacement for Carson Wentz. On the flip side, if you're looking for a quarterback this week, you're probably looking at Blake Bortles, who's got a good matchup and has been a top 10 quarterback for three straight weeks. Also, Case Keenum is a good play against the Bengals, who actually made Mitchell Trubisky look like an NFL quarterback last week. Mm-hmm. As far as Rodgers is concerned, I'm getting a lot of questions on my Twitter feed. Should I play him? Should I play him? So, at this point, I would think there's probably two quarterbacks I'd play over him, Russell Wilson and Tom Brady. And that's it. Maybe Cam Newton, because I like the matchup against the Packers, ironically enough. But this is a guy who's averaged over 21 fantasy points a game when he played full games earlier this season. And I talked to Ian Rappaport a little bit earlier today, and he told me that Rodgers is not 100% healed, but he's healed enough that the Packers are not worried that he's going to re-injure that bone. So that's good enough for me, and I would really be – let's just put it this way. If you don't play Aaron Rodgers this week and he goes off and has 25 points, you're going to be kicking yourself the entire rest of the winter. If you play him and he gives you 15 or 16 points, well, I would say you went out and played the best quarterback on your roster because clearly if Rodgers is on your team, he's probably going to be the best, and that's what happens. So – if you picked up Rodgers, unless you have Brady or a quarterback like Russell Wilson, I can't see sitting him.
Okay, so Michael Fabiano, you can follow him on Twitter, And you can check him out at Michael_Fabiano. Of course, the NFL Network, NFL.com, the Hall of Famer with us every week. I'm going to throw a few mailbags at you, and I could go all day on all these. Rodgers or Rivers?
Rodgers.
Rodgers, Carr, Keenum, or Big Ben? I mean, I'm sorry, Rodgers. Rodgers, Keenum, or Big Ben? I'm sorry.
Rodgers.
And I'm right there with you. Carr or Nick Foles?
Nick Foles.
So where are you at on Nick Foles?
He is certainly a capable quarterback. Remember, back in 2013, I mean, this guy had 27 touchdowns and two picks. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the league and in fantasy football, too. Now, I'm not saying he's going to reclaim that sort of status, but they're not going to change the offense. He's got a lot of weapons in Philadelphia. Zach Ertz has cleared concussion protocol, so he'll be back. And the Giants offer up a really good matchup. They're giving up over 20 points a game to quarterbacks on their home field. So I would absolutely stream Nick Foles if I was desperate at the quarterback position.
Okay, standard league. Need to start two wide receivers. Hill, Fitz, Thomas. Hill, Fitz, Thomas. Need two of the three.
Fitz is a must-start regardless. He is much better in PPR, but I still say I get him into the lineup, even against the Redskins, too. You know, Fitz lines up in the slot a lot, and the Redskins struggle against slot receivers. And that second one is interesting. I'd go Demaryius Thomas because of the matchup. I mean, Tyreek Hill's playing the Chargers this week, and the Chargers haven't given up a 100-yard game to a receiver all season long. Very tough matchup. So Demaryius coming off a big game and playing the Colts, that would be the direction that I go, and it's very close, though.
Standard league, need one. Landry, Tate, Hogan.
Hogan would be the odd man out of that trio.
Jordy Nelson or Cooks, wide receiver two.
Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Jordy Nelson, he's back. Jordy Nelson, get him in your lineup.
Listen to this. Rodgers or Breeze this week?
Rodgers.
Okay, a couple more from the mailbag, and then I'll get you out of here. Let me go over here to this, because they're all, let's see. Wentz. Gordon, Devontae Adams, Thielen, Hill can start three. Who would you suggest?
Thielen's a must start. I would go Hill there, and Gordon, or what was the last option?
Gordon, let's see, Adams. Gordon, Adams, Thielen, Hill.
Woo!
That's a tough.
That's a good one. Because, you know, Devontae Adams has been unbelievably good with Brett Hundley, Rodgers back. I'd probably still go with Devontae Adams there and leave Josh Gordon on the outside looking in.
Two running backs, Barber, Murray, Davis, Williams. Kerwin Williams. Barber, Murray, Davis, Williams.
Well, if it's Latavius Murray, I would start him.
It is.
Latavius is a very good play. And, you know, the other option, so Kerwin's getting a lot of touches for the Cardinals. I like him a little bit more in PPR leagues. That and the last two were who again?
Oh, shoot. You would ask me. Hang on here. Let me go back. I'm going through the mailbag here. Barber, Latavius Murray, Mike Davis, Kerwin Williams.
Yeah, I'd probably go Mike Davis and Murray. I don't know what the situation is right now with that Tampa Bay backfield because Doug Martin started last week, fumbled, then Barber came in. Barber's been the better back. If Barber is named the starter between now and game time, he moves up.
Rivers or Big Ben?
Big Ben.
All right. Anybody else you're looking at this week? Because these are playoff games, obviously, that you're like, come on, Brad, they got to go down this path. Take the chance, roll the dice, or play your safe guys. You can't take any risks at this point of the season.
There's always going to be difficult lineup decisions that you have to make. You're going to stick with your studs for the most part, unless that stud is Mike Evans. And at that point, well, maybe you're considering benching him because he hasn't really been all that great.
Not much.
But there are so many players that have been picked up off the waiver wire who are extremely startable, maybe not must-starts, but very startable. So if you're looking at wide receiver, Devin Funchess is a guy that comes right to mind. He's been tremendous. You're going to get Jordy Nelson back this week because Aaron Rodgers is back. I mentioned Josh Gordon as a guy who's been very good. I mean, Marquise Goodwin, look at him in San Francisco. He's just been tremendous for the Niners. He's getting a lot of targets, especially since Garoppolo took over there. So he is certainly a playable asset. Rex Burkhead's been very good, a guy that a lot of people picked up off the waiver wire as well. Jamal Williams, same kind of thing, where he's been very good, and I would not worry about Rodgers coming back and sort of hurting his value because honestly, defenses are not going to be able to stack the box against the run, and which means, you know, Jamal Williams will have even more room to run, depending on the status of Joe Mixon, Gio Bernard. Despite a bad matchup, you're looking at a guy who's going to see volume. And don't forget about Kenyon Drake. He's mm-hmm. been good the last couple of weeks. No wonder why the Dolphins traded J.H.I., and he gets the best matchup of any running back in fantasy football this week, playing the Bills, who have absolutely been shredded by running backs over the last few weeks of the season. So there are certainly guys out there who are not quote-unquote studs who fantasy fans should definitely lean on this week based on the matchups and based on volume and based on their level of play in recent weeks.
See you, Michael. Thanks for the visit as always. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
This is Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network. Every week, the NFL Network, NFL.com, senior fantasy analyst Michael Fabiano with us through the season. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports, our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. We are self-funded. That means that the people that you're about to see say, we believe in you. We appreciate them and their support of us. Stay with us. So I'm going to circle back on Letter of Intent Day, which comes up a week from today. It's the first time in college football that they have had a December 20th signing day. And, you know, signing day, it's fine. We're in a space now where most of the signing stuff is done. Websites will try to track it and do the best that they can do. But most of these kids have figured out that they don't need to go to another party. They just commit themselves online. And you follow their Twitter feed and you see what they're doing. It's pretty simple. That's what's going on now. It's pretty basic. So it's changed from through the years where I can go back on Super Prep with Alan Wallace and our buddy Greg Biggins, who will be on here the next week, and 30 years ago doing recruiting stuff. And it's just evolved into this space where the kids control the narrative through their own social media. That said, the story is really, who are these kids and what are they all about? Doesn't matter to me how many stars they have. If all you're doing is looking at stars, you're just, I don't know, you're going to disappoint yourself. You're going to get all wound up in clicks. It's got to be a different way to go about recruiting. And Herm Edwards going into a recruit's home and how he presents himself and what is his messaging, I think is a really good angle that I'll talk about. I'm going to write about it online. Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, of course, is out of the box thinking, Eric, did you see that Harbaugh landed Shea Patterson?
I did.
What do you think of that one?
I think it's really smart. And you know, do you know the connection?
I don't.
So Shea Patterson was originally a University of Arizona commit. He connected with Matt Dudek, who at the time was the U of A recruiting coordinator.
Good guy, Matt.
He is now the Michigan recruiting coordinator, and that relationship has continued, and he will be at Michigan, and it sounds like he could be playing next year, which is a huge coup for Michigan because he's a very, very talented quarterback.
They'll lose to Ohio State again, though. They lose every year to Ohio
State. I'm sure they will.
Right?
But they had quarterback issues last season, and I know the freshman Peters played a little bit, got hurt, but John O'Korn, senior, is going to be gone, and Wilton Spate, their other quarterback, is transferring, so perfect opportunity for Patterson to come in and win the job.
JT Barrett got hurt. They managed to find a way to win. And so quarterbacks at places. I'm not discounting you. It's just I think Harbaugh's running out of excuses up there. Although, because he is so random, right? Jim Harbaugh is going to do things like he took the whole team, Eric, to a school that's recruited for practice, to a school that they're recruiting a kid from there because they have their bowl practices, right? He and Mrs. Harbaugh dressed up as Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus. Of course they did. I think the world is more interesting with Jim Harbaugh on the college end than on the pro end. And so to see Harbaugh doing these sorts of things is fine. I saw it last night. I don't remember the school. It was one of the SEC schools. It was down in Florida. The newspaper in Florida was doing the all-academic, not all-academic. They don't do all-academics. They're doing the all-state team, whatever. It's like the Republic will do the all-state team, which is fine. So the coaches from Pitt, and it was Pitt, heard about that there was going to be this photo shoot with all these top players. So, of course, they crashed the photo shoot. Of course they did. There will be story after story of players and how they went about getting in front of those players. Eric, we would agree that Spencer Rattler, while he's committed to Oklahoma next year, that there are schools trying to figure out ways to still get to Spencer Rattler. You just did a big piece on Spencer last week. You were out there last week. Have you been asked yet by anybody on the collegiate end to get to Spencer Rattler through an introduction?
No, no, but he has told me there's still a number of schools that are trying to figure out creative ways to get to him, whether that be through social media, whether that be through coaching connections, mutual friends, things of that sort.
You think Herm Edwards, Donnie Annis, and that group has reached out or tried to figure out a way to get to Spencer? I would think they would.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know that as fact?
I do.
Okay. So Arizona State is trying to get back in with Spencer Rattler. Trying. No, not that they were ever in with him. And the Rattler circle's small. You're part of that. He trusts you. You've done several stories on him. What is the deal?
I don't know.
He's just a trusty guy?
I saw him when he was an eighth grader. Now he's a big-time, scrawny little eighth-grade basketball player. Now he's this big-time quarterback recruit.
He's still scrawny in my view.
He is not scrawny.
He's scrawny. I saw him out at Gilbert High School. He's a runt. Just kidding. He'd beat me up, throw me on the
floor. Compared to you at 6'8".
Yeah, but he's buff. Kind of like Christian Kirk coming in here with the gunshot going. You know what I mean? No, but seriously, so you know as fact that Arizona State is trying to figure out a way to get to speak to Spencer Rattler.
I do.
Okay, and have they been able to do that as of yet?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Do you think he would listen to Arizona State?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't even talk to the kid. It's just his social screams, I am going to Oklahoma.
Yeah, and it's not just ASU. I mean, there have been some pretty high-profile schools,
like,
no offense, much bigger than ASU, that continue to reach out to him, whether that be through direct messages. No, just Power 5 schools.
I got you.
High-end Power 5 schools, most of which are playing in bowl games after Christmas type high-end Power 5 schools.
Any of them coming here to play? In bowl games.
And they have not been able to get to him. So,
you're not answering that question. Any of them that are coming here to play in bowl games?
I can neither confirm nor deny those reports.
I like that. Lincoln Riley was there last night to watch him.
That's what I saw. That's what I saw.
So
he had a big, I guess, Pinnacle won their basketball game, so that's kind of cool.
So, and Pinnacle plays this Friday night against Shadow.
Last year when those two teams played, it was a really good game, so I expect the same this Friday.
This Mike Bibby's, Jalen House, Eddie House's son, against Nico Mannion this Friday night. That's like must-see. If you claim to be a basketball fan, especially if you're one of those that's now all over the ASU bandwagon or even U of A or GCU, You have to go watch Nico Mannion play. You have to do this. I've told you through the last 6 years, there's certain players at the high school level. Go watch them. Because when they play in the NBA, like we all gushed about Marvin Bagley here. We did. I wasn't a fan of the circus around him, but I was a fan of we gushed about Barcelo. We gushed about Marcus Howard. We gushed about Jordan Howard. And what do you know? All those guys are probably going to keep playing well into the NBA. You can just see it. That's the fun of the college to high school transition. These people that say, have you seen this kid Bagley at Duke? Yeah, I watched him in eighth grade. Didn't talk about him because that's kind of creepy. There's an eighth grader right now that I could talk about that some people are saying is already better than Bagley out by where I live. I've seen him play. It's too over the top. It just is. Yeah, it could produce all sorts of clicks. I don't care. It's just creepy to sit down a kid who's barely got hair under his armpits or anywhere else and say, you know, tell me your story. Well, you do it for a golfer. No. Have you seen me do it around a golfer? No, I haven't done it. They're out there. That's what we do. The thing on Spencer, though, Eric, I think for ASU to even get a sniff from him, they're not going to. So is it a hit on Herm? If we go back to what Ray said, they've got to get the 4- and 5-star guys and have got to get the guys. And Herm did, Ray didn't say in-state. He kept going to California, California, California. But to me, I'm going to give him a pass on Spencer Rattler, even though when Spencer plays in the NFL, because barring injury, he's going to play in the NFL. You can see it. I'm not going to get on Herm's case about that one. Tyler Shuck, I'm not going to get on Herm's case about that one. Todd screwed that one up. I can't get on Herm's case about guys that have gotten out of Saguaro and have gone to Washington and Texas A&M and other points. I can't do that. Clean slate of it is, who are the guys in the next week that he has to flip? Eric, have you seen Gunnar Romney at Chandler much?
I have not.
Okay. Jordan has been all over Gunnar Romney. Jordan's
we
been
sort
a Chandler
of have.
Guy.
I mean, yeah, we
you're the North. Just, so,
yeah, but not. Yeah, I don't know why. I just haven't seen. I've seen plenty of highlights, but I did not see Chandler once in person this year.
Because you were up here, and there's
yeah, or in the West Valley, or in the West Valley. Yeah, West actually, Valley, I didn't even shoot a Saguaro game this year. Believe it or not.
Wow, that's interesting.
Lots of Centennial, Liberty,
Pinnacle.
Yeah, Pinnacle, Horizon type schools.
Can't be everywhere. So your strength is up here. So Gunnar Romney, Cal is going to be in his house tomorrow night. Cal is trying to flip him away from BYU.
As is ASU,
I've been told. As is ASU, yeah, okay. So if Herm is not able to flip guys, are we going to get this narrative of, well, he tried, but he just wasn't that good of a salesman?
No. And we shouldn't. He just got the job.
I don't think so either. But the amount of people that hated this hire, they're going to find ways to work their narrative in. They just are. And then there's going to be the other side of that's going to cheerlead so loud and hard for anybody that they flip. And you don't know if they can play dead. You don't know that. Like Melee at South Point, he's going to Washington, right?
He is.
And you've seen him play.
I have.
And he's one of the better ones that's come along.
Yep.
Do you think they have a shot at flipping him?
Nope.
Okay, he's solid.
He just went on his official visit and had plastered pictures all over social media. So,
and all these names you're going to, if you don't know these names, they're all coming up next week. My point of this rant is...
And it's tough too, Brad, because these kids are signing in a week. I mean, if Herm Edwards had until
February
it'd
which
be...
Which he will.
Yeah, but I mean, the kids have the option to, if they want to sign next week, they can. And if you're pretty much 100%, 10% committed out of the class of 2018, where you want to go, why would you wait till February?
What if next Wednesday, Eric, let's just say this happens, because we've never been in this space and you and I are going to follow it, especially you. What if next Wednesday a recruiter's board has a kid who decides on the 20th, you know what, I think I'm going to wait until I sign this piece of paper. All of a sudden, you're going to have mass chaos, I think, next week, because a lot of these Power 5 schools are going to say WTH or put an F on there or something and say, what are you talking about? You committed to us 3 months ago, 2 months ago, and now all of a sudden you're waiting? I was talking to a guy who's a recruiter yesterday, and he was pointing out that we are in completely uncharted, nobody knows type of territory in the number of guys that are going to flip at the last minute, or players that are going to come free that haven't been there before because of the December 20th, and then they can sign in February. So they can drag this out. Top quarterback in the state, Tyler Shuck, nope, he's going to sign 7 a.m. at Hamilton. We're going to be there. He already sent me a note. Make sure you're there. I'm not going to be there. Jordan will be there. And he's going to go to Oregon. He's not even going to finish school at Hamilton. He's going to go up there and start early. He's done. I don't see him flipping. A week ago, I thought he might have. A week ago, he told me. We'll see.
One of the more interesting players in the state that I want to see how his recruiting goes is the Dane Thomas over at Centennial.
Great running back, it
looks
like.
Took his visit to Boise, was committed, hated it, came back from Boise, decommitted.
You said he hated it.
Hated Boise. Did not like it on his visit.
But he committed before he went to Boise.
Correct.
Okay.
Went on his visit, didn't like it, decommitted. And I know USC had been looking at him. I know he's just been offered by Utah, and our own Jason Jewell says he is going to visit the campus, I think, this weekend.
Mm.
Why is ASU going to make a run at him?
Who's the DB over there?
Dominic Hampton.
Okay, and he's going to Washington.
Yeah.
Whenever a kid goes to Washington and gets out of state, it drives me crazy. Byron Murphy should be here. Should be here.
And all the Oregon kids that left.
Yeah.
And, you know, past and present with Shuck.
So if next Wednesday and Thursday, are you and I going to overreact on letter of intent day? Are we going to sit here and say, Herm lost some guys that he had committed. ASU is going to say, this is the greatest recruiting class in the history of mankind. We can't believe that we got all these guys. They're all the next LeBrons and Michael Jordans in their sports. They're all the next Antonio Browns on the football. ASU is going to say that. They do every year.
In terms of in-state kids, Brad, ASU really only has less than a handful of kids that have actually committed. They don't have a big in-state class.
Okay, and you know these big cigars are wanting to see results. These big cigars are expecting Herm to flip this thing. Like the my point on this whole deal, Eric, is the rant is this rant is the bar is so high on Herm from some people that if they don't see big blaring headlines that this is the greatest class in the last 25 years. So I know ASU is going to oversell it like they've never oversold something on one hand. On the other hand, it may well be. But you can't make that judgment. If he brings five-star guys in here, so what? We're back after this timeout. All right, so down at the winter meetings, I just got a transcript from Tori Lovello. He just met with the media at the winter meetings. Really interesting stuff. He talked about Archie Bradley that I'm going to get to in a minute. But I think the bigger story there is, from my understanding, the Diamondbacks are going to be meeting today with Scott Boros about J.D. Martinez. And the Red Sox are going to be meeting today with Scott Boros about J.D. Martinez. The Diamondbacks, according to reports in Texas last night, that the Diamondbacks had talked to the Rangers about trading Greinke down there, and I'm all in on that. Get Zach out of here. It's just enough. It's time for a reboot. Get something while you can get him, but more importantly, get the payroll off. So this media session this morning with Tori Lovello, what he had to say about J.D. Martinez was interesting. Quote, I want us all to remember for the first half of the season and beyond until we did get J.D., we were a real good team. He just gave us that little push to take it to the next level. So I'm hoping because of what those guys tasted, touched, and felt, that they understand what it will take to fill in those gaps. That sounds very much like we're not getting him and we've already moved on. And someone asks him, assuming that J.D. does not come back, Tomas, talk about Christian Walker. He played the playoff team. Do you anticipate him being an active as a starting spot role player? What do you like about him? I look at all our guys as contributors, and Christian Walker certainly falls inside of that category, a player that we picked up on waivers, another organization, came in, was MVP of the Pacific Coast League, and then found his way onto our playoff roster, got some big, meaningful hits down the stretch, which is very hard for a young player to do. So I love his approach. I love the ability to attack the ball, elevate the ball. I didn't get a chance to see him defensively as much as I'd like, but that's what we'll walk through in spring training. So we feel like we have a very, very talented group of players on our 40-man. It's up to us to make sure that we continue to develop the right guys, help push us back to 25 next season. That sounds like somebody is saying, okay, I'm going to take a look at this guy. Then he's asked, what was it like to manage JD? I'm not going to go through that. The part here about Archie Bradley was interesting. He's asked about Archie Bradley and his versatility, the lockdown guy in the ninth inning. Where do you think he can bring the most value? So Tori Lovello said this morning about Archie Bradley. I'm just reading. Contextually, I would like to hear what he had to say and who was asking and what the room is like and all that. Because you can tell sometimes where guys are just, let me just get through this media session and I'm just going to say whatever and I'm going to move on versus, you know, it's someone that they really respect and they're being straight up with. It's just part of the deal. Quote, Tori Lovello, well, certainly it was nice to have Archie and Chafin on the back end. And we were filling in the seventh inning with some really, really talented guys as well. But Archie's so unique. Last year, he was a lockdown reliever no matter when he came into the game. He was going to shut his inning down. We asked a lot of him. He comes in as a starter. He rotates into the bullpen. Really, that happened by accident. Okay, that's talking about last year, not now. So now moving ahead. So I feel like, this is Tori Lovello this morning, I feel like when spring training starts, we're going to stretch him out, prepare him as a starter, because that's what his body's used to. And I think that's what worked for him. And anything can happen. Last year, we walked through a lot of injuries. So if you stretch him out, we're going to have that ability to maybe shift him into a different role. But for right now, it looks like we want to keep him in the bullpen. That would be my choice. So in spring, they're going to let him start, stretch him out. But they want to keep him in the bullpen.
Maybe that depends on what happens with Zach Greinke.
Well, and Boxberger comes in too. That deal they made with Tampa Bay, I think that gives a different dynamic. But I agree with you. If Greinke is not here, because I like Banda last year.
Mm-hmm.
I like Banda.
It would be a huge coup if the Diamondbacks could move Greinke.
Yes.
And get that deal off the books.
Get even, anything
even
get
if,
it out of here.
Even if they have to eat, which they probably will, some of that money. I mean, like Pedro Gomez said, that's just dead money, which is not good. But you just can't have that much money tied up. You know, you got these, between he and Tomas, you've got all this money locked into two guys. One who had a good season last year, not a great season. The other one who's been hurt and is just sort of up and down.
Well, I can tell you, in talking with a couple people inside the Diamondbacks, they would love to move him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no secret. Here's the thing on this, Eric. Do you move a really good piece of your team that is going to be a bit of a setback, or quite a bit of a setback, in order to make sure you get Greinke out of here?
You may have to.
If you move Banda, or if you move Jake Lamb, or if you moved A.J. Pollock, and I'm bringing up these names, some of these names, because in A.J. Pollock's case, you don't know if he's going to price himself out of Arizona, and you better get out of it while you can, or you're going to be in that situation. People are like, oh, you can't trade this guy. Oh, this is the dumbest thing you've ever heard. There's a business side to this. Just because he's a really good player, you might have to move some things out to get rid of your mistakes. I'd say Tomas is a monumental mistake right now. I'd say Greinke has been pretty darn good up to a point, but the dollars are just insane. So, yes, you may have to give up some quality. I'm not saying you trade Archie Bradley, but, you know, you go up and down the roster and there's some guys you may have to move. Talk to the Lopes is next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brett Swedberg is on the other side. Every Wednesday, we talk Grand Canyon University. We appreciate the partnership with them. The assistant golf coach at GCU, they've got a terrific program. And tonight, Dan Marley's team is up in Boise in a big game against Boise State. Back after this timeout. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every Wednesday, we talk Grand Canyon University athletics across everything at GCU. This week, focusing in on the golf program. Terrific course out there. They opened a couple of, I think it's like a year and a half back. Brett Swedberg will correct me on that. Got invited to go out there and play it. I'm not very good. I almost hit a few cars. I tore up the place, but it was fun. Mark Mueller is the head coach. Jesse Mueller volunteers as an assistant. And Brett Swedberg is with us now as the assistant coach talking GCU golf. Golf is interesting because it goes pretty much the entire calendar year. It's not like here you go for 9, 10, 15 weeks and it's over with. The next match for the Lopes is against Pepperdine, which will be in January. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Sure, sure. Are you out at the range right now, Brett? It sounds nice. It sounds like you're outside.
I am actually outside. Yeah, I'm just kind of hanging out. We've got the back private end of the range and a chipping area. It's just so nice out this morning. I just grabbed a cup of coffee and came outside.
I was going to say, if you're on hands-free, go ahead and just chip. You know, go ahead and do some, roll some putts.
I brought my wedge out here. Just
there you go. I mean, look, you and I can talk about golf while you're chipping. It's kind of like the Havocs, you know, except it's golf. I like to have fun doing this. This isn't brain surgery.
It is
a beautiful course out there. All right, so your background has been in golf. And I'm curious your path that took you to Arizona Christian and then to GCU. Yep. But your path before that, how do you become a golf coach at the collegiate level?
I played college golf. I'm from Minnesota. I graduated from St. Cloud State up there in 2005. And then I played professionally, moved down to Arizona. That's kind of where every kid wants to go from the Midwest is down here. And there was a Gateway Tour that was really hot back then, and mm-hmm. Played other various mini tours, and then eventually had a year on a web.com tour. Just didn't play as well as I needed to continue to play. Had a beautiful wife and a son on the way, and I always loved to be part of a team, and I just thought college golf and coaching was probably the next step that I wanted to do and where I should be. So a friend of mine knew athletic director over at Arizona Christian, and I just kind of gave it a try, and I did that for 4 years and, you know, had some success up there. And fortunately, I had known Jesse Mueller and Mark Mueller, the coaches down here, and I talked to them. I saw an opening down here as the assistant coach, and this was just kind of honestly one of my dream jobs, was to try to get in somewhere down at GCU. And mm-hmm. I met with Mark, and we really hit it off, and I got hired in May of 2016, so it's been about a year and a half now. It's been great.
What is it that you've brought to the program?
Well, I think my knowledge of golf, just playing competitively. You know, I've played competitively for 20-plus years now and played at a fairly high level and had some success playing some professional golf, not at the highest level. But, you know, the ability to relate to kids is something that's huge. I shouldn't call them kids. You know, they're college student-athletes. But my ability to relate to the guys, build relationships, and then my knowledge with golf and the ability to, I think, assess talent is a big thing. As we've got a really – recruiting is such a big thing for us here. You know, we've got such a great facility. The campus is unbelievable. We've got support from athletics and everybody at over at campus. So it's just a matter of bringing the right guys in here for GCU and bringing some talented guys, because we have everything that we need to be a successful program.
Brett Swedberg is with us. He's the assistant golf coach at Grand Canyon University. Talk to the Lopes. We talk Grand Canyon University every Wednesday at 11 here on sports360az.com. We appreciate the partnership with GCU. Okay, let's get into recruiting, because the last I'd heard, there's 104 golf courses in Maricopa County. That was a couple of years ago. You redid, yeah. Brian Mueller and GCU redid the whole course there, and it's fabulous. The time that I was out there, I'm surprised it made it through. But recruiting a player, what is your strategy when Mark, Jesse, yourself sit down? How do you go about strategy? Because obviously we're in a golf mecca. Probably as soon as you say Phoenix, you'll have the interest of players. How do you whittle it down, I guess, is the question, Brett?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. It is. There's some challenging pieces with it. You know, we're first and foremost, we're trying to find student athletes that have 3.5 GPAs. That's something big for us. We want to have good students in here. And a close second is obviously athletic ability. And, you know, you got to have, Coach Mueller and I like to talk about having the funk, you know, having that gumption and just kind of being a gamer, just being able to go out and play and compete even when you don't have your best. That's something that's huge for us that we've tried to find is guys that can just go out and post a score even if they have their C game or their D game. And, you know, you have to have experience playing at a high level, you know, mm-hmm. as a junior. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for experience. You know, we got to find some, and we kind of look all over. We try to get the best player from Arizona, but we've also looked. We've got a kid on the team from Canada. We've got a kid on the team from Sweden. We've got someone that signed for us for next year. He's from Oklahoma, Matthew Braley, and then a junior college transfer from Midland Community College, Michael Salazar. So we kind of look everywhere, to be honest. But, yeah, we're just trying to find the right guys for GCU and guys that have great effort, great attitudes, and that just want to compete.
You could just get in your car and fill a team, couldn't you? From right here, I don't want Brian to cut your recruiting budget, right? but you could just get in your car and go in about a 50-mile radius and fill a golf team. There's that many talented
golf team? Yeah,
there's that many talented players. Yeah,
there are a lot of talented players down here. Yeah, there's Phoenix has a lot of great players. Southern California, you know, Texas, Oklahoma. There's players, good players everywhere. It's just about finding the right kid for GCU.
Within the conference, tell me about how that works in your scheduling. You walk into a potential student athlete. Okay, they can play the game. Got it. They've got the 3.5 GPA. Got it. Are there the questions of who do you play, where do you play, and all of that? Take me through that process.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously are trying to win our conference every year. That's our main focus, which is going to be tough conditions. So, yeah, we're trying to find guys that their games can travel. You know, mm-hmm. they can play in the wind, the rain, and obviously Phoenix, sunny and nice 95% of the time. So we want to find young men that can go and grind and shoot even par when it's 45 degrees and windy and potentially rainy. I mean, we're just trying to bring the guys in here that can compete.
When you're in a recruiting visit and who you play, is that part of the question as well, your level of competition?
Okay, yeah, no, I mean, the bottom line here is we're trying to beat top 50 and top 25 programs. So we're trying to bring in the best player that we can. So winning our conference is huge, and that helps us get to regionals, but ultimately our goal is to get to a national championship. So, yes, first and foremost, we need to win conference, but we're also trying to compete and beat top 50 programs. That's our main goal, and somehow get in the top 25 here in the next few years.
When you're working, and I'll let you go off this one, when you're working with players and you look at their strengths and their weaknesses in the recruiting process, you may get an idea of that by talking to them. But how open is an 18-year-old to being worked with versus a 20, 21-year-old by the time they're a senior?
Yeah, I think everyone's a little bit different. Everyone has their swing coach, and they've been working on certain things. So as far as the golf swing goes, nothing really changes from the age of 18 to 22. There's some fundamentals you're going to work on with ball position and you know, a little bit with swing playing, but not a whole lot with that. Most of the time, it's your course management. It's when to hit a certain shot, when to go for a certain flag, and then short game. I mean, the guys are receptive to it. You know, we work on short game 90% of the time in our wedges, and we play a lot. We want our guys to just continue to learn how to score. So, yeah, I think the guys we have, they've bought into what we're working on, and that's why, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. Is we're trying to get our whole team to buy into knowing how important a short game is, and that's where you're going to score, and that's why we continue to chip and chip and chip and hit leg putts and hit 3, 4, and 5 footers. So really from 18 to 22, if you have the right guys, they're going to buy into it, and they're going to be, you know, willing to have you work with them. But like I said, you know, their full swing is their full swing. They'll tighten it up as they get a little bit older, and
right,
and their big misses start to get a little bit smaller. But for the most part, it's all about short game.
Anything else you want to add about the program I haven't asked you before you get out of here and go chip and putt?
No, I'm just very thankful to be here. It's a great place. You know, I've been here a year and a half. It's been an awesome experience so far. We've come a long ways. We've won a handful of times now the last year and a half. And, yeah, just thankful to the university for the support that they give us. You know, we have a golf course. We have an unbelievable facility. And, yeah, it's just it's a great place to be. And I really look forward to the spring. We've got the right guys here to do something special. It's going to take a lot of hard work. And our intensity's got to raise the bar a little bit. Coach Mueller and myself have talked this winter and this fall a lot about, as coaches, we just need to raise the bar, because we have the talent here to do something special this spring, but ultimately, if we don't win conference, get to regionals, and have an opportunity to get to nationals, it's kind of going to be a waste of a year. I don't like to say that, but that's our whole thing, is we really need to do something at conference and get ourselves to regionals, get ourselves a chance.
Good stuff, Brett. Appreciate the visit. Best of luck this year. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot, Brad. Appreciate it.
Have a good day. There's Brett Swedberg there. That is Talk to the Lopes, the assistant golf coach at Grand Canyon University. It is a terrific course that they have there. Great track. The basketball team is playing Boise State tonight. Dan Marley's team at Boise. This is going to be a really good test. Boise won at Oregon on a buzzer beater. And so the Lopes tonight in action on the basketball court. That is Talk to the Lopes this week. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.